Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
How do you do?
I am doing all right, and you?
Great, blessings.
To you,
too. Now, I heard a guy last week calling and saying with the seven-year plan that the Prime Minister enunciated some time ago, he was saying they expect to be in office for 7 years. I could do a seven-year plan. But I don't know if he ever realized that he used to do a 10-year development plan.
25 years, too.
25 years development plan. Sometimes people just talk, but they don't no research. I'm putting it at that. The other one is that, the other one that I heard about, no, don't the building, put the money in hospital. But there are various heads of government that have various budgets. And I heard Mr. Sutherland said quite lucidly that government has given the update the all the financing to buy the two units that are going to be used for to sterilize the equipment, and they must be purpose built, and then they must have to be commissioned, and then they have to Barbados specifications and things like that. Those things you don't just pick up like a car. You order a car, and even if you order a car with special features, it will take time to do it. You just want to say, go in the shop and say, I want one of those, and sign up to Barbados. So these things are things that have to go through a certain process. The other one that somebody mentioned this morning, the parking in Bridgetown. And how car parks close at certain times. The airport car park do not close. And you know why? Because of automatic machines. If your car park in there, to never ever... When you're going, you punch the card into the system.
You're pushing the money, you pay it, and you come back out.
Come out. So what is needed is, as a continue to redevelop the Bridgetown, you must put some machines that you can park at, that you can pay and park, alongside certain streets, that if it is possible. And I heard a minister in the finance ministry talking about that. That we can put...
parking meters that were supposed to be introduced so long ago.
So long ago. I mean, I can remember in 1992 talking about parking meters.
15 or more years ago, yep.
To the then Prime Minister, because I can remember at meetings with the then Prime Minister, Sir Erskine, that we brought this whole question of parking meters in Bridgetown to start recouping some money.
But were they actually imported into Barbados at one point? Didn't we actually bring parking meters in here?
But never implemented. But, so those are things. And then the other one before you go, is this whole question of park and ride.
Yep.
There's no reason why you're talking about near the garrison or near up here by the new gardens, that the new botanical gardens, in some area they could not put a park and ride. So you come down the highway, you park your car, get in the bus, and go down the road. In London, you can't drive into London unless you pay an exorbitant fee to go down into London. You have to park and ride. And I think that people in Barbados seem to suggest that they should not have any... That is, they should just park, as you said, in front of Care Shepherd. Park your car there, walk in, shop for an hour or two, leave the car there, and then come back out before anything happens.
I have seen... I keep laughing when I see it, right? I see old cars in Barbados. Old cars. Let me see. Anyway, a car over 20 years old, driving along the street. I don't see the hazard lights on. I don't see a breakdown. I see some big, expensive German-made cars that keep breaking down in front of ATMs. I don't know why, but they're there with the hazard light on, which means that they're broken down. They're broken down. When you see a car parked by the side of the road with the hazard light on, something wrong with the car, right? But it's always by an ATM. And here's what's amusing, right? The cars stop in front of the ATM by Scotiabank, right? Low Broad Street. Hazard lights go on. Then it stop in front of Harrison's number one. Hazard light go on. Then it go up and stop in front of another expensive, you know, place to sell it, some other expensive one. It keep breaking down in front of expensive places. So my thing is, don't buy an expensive car. Because there's only breakdown in front of expensive shops.
The other one I wanted to mention is this whole question of people in Barbados don't like to walk. That's one of the first things. So that way they go and park these grip places to inhibit traffic. And the other one is these sidewalks in Bridgetown. If you go to places Australia across the Euro, you'll find that for people visually impaired, for example, when it comes to the end of a pedestrian, an end of a sidewalk, there are little bubbles in the road, so that when the guy works his cane and shakes his cane, he knows that he's to a junction.
Uh-huh.
And that they need to look at that as their redevelopment Bridgetown. So if you're visually impaired, when you get to the junction coming up, you see some little bubbles in the road, and when you walk, when you move your cane from left to right, you can feel these bubbles. The other, my final point is, these cars that park alongside the road with harboring mosquitoes and people repairing at the road and can't get through these roads, there's enough spaces on the industrial parks in Barbados that now don't have any people. Sometimes some of them don't have any people working them.
I'm glad you said so, sir. I'm very glad you said so. When I read the story in the newspaper about this guy with the appliances that, you know, was mentioned and pictures in the newspaper, I kept saying to myself, but don't we have industrial estates? Aren't we encouraging people to be entrepreneurs? Why can't we get together and decide, okay, if you have a guy who is doing metalwork, bodywork, spray painting cars, fixing appliances, whatever, rather than, you know, 20-foot containers and people complaining about grass, go to the gentleman and say, look, here's what we have. How can we work out a schedule, a price that is competitive or whatever, and work with them? Rather than having them closed up and doing nothing and, you know, people complaining about, oh, a man got plenty of cars in the road, somebody got appliances in the road. Car. Anyhow, yes, sir. Don't we have industrial estates in Barbados with nothing going on in it?
We have repair shops. And a set of different, I could go to, in the same compound, I could go to Mania, Mechanic A, Mechanic B, or Mechanic C. But I have but those cars are in that particular area, a catchment area. And then you could have in St. Lucie, you could have the same thing all the way to that industrial park in St. Lucie. Mm-hmm. You have a Vildy, you have it all the way place where people can carry their, can move off these streets, these very small streets already with the amount of cars they can't pass easily. Get them off the street, and the government should, well, I said government because it lands without the government, that make sure that I can have these catchment areas that you can go as your ABC auto mechanic shop, the place there that you can come and play your trade. And
well
so forth across Escape of Barbados. I really flip the place. They really want to beautify Barbados and get rid of
something. I support you in that, sir. I support
the place. Like train that down in that bamboo or something like that.
Yeah.
But you know, I know what happens is, and it has been happening for eons of time. Ministers drive around the world in various countries that are developing. And they don't seem to sit in the back seat of the car and don't see the kind of things that are happening. And you talk about the road crossings. The road crossings are horrendous. There's one right here outside a church, right here, so St. Matthew's Church, that the children go across. Mm-hmm. It is not painted. You understand? Mm-hmm. And the traffic come off of that road so fast. I call the police very often. Say they should come and put some kind of thing in the road or say a school zone. The school zones are not properly marked.
Correct.
I'm sure that I saw one morning somebody came in, the person who did the children to cross, and the guy just decided he can't wait. He passed her out when she was crossing and children come across the road. I didn't put some traffic lights. I have controlled the speed of the output of speed limit in the school zones.
But the school zones have a special speed limit, sir. You're supposed to slow down in those areas. But here's the other thing. But then people don't bother. And not only that, there are some that are controlled by lights. There are some that are controlled by lights and wardens. And you're correct, people still ignore it. And the third thing is, in St. Lawrence Gap, there are these elevated platforms that act as speed restraints. They should be put at school crossings. And I'll tell you why I say so.
Where were you?
When you lift the crossing. One, it forces the car to slow down.
That's right.
Two, because some children are vertically challenged, I don't want to say the little children, you see them better if, you know, you're sitting down in your, whatever it is, obstructing your view and you can't see them because, you know, the bonnet of your car kind of high. Okay? You will see them because they'll be walking at a higher level. You'll be forced to see them. And I believe, sir, we must protect our children from those of us who don't seem to want children. But, you know.
Amen to that. And finally, Barbados do not like change. Some caller this morning thinking that we should go back many, many years. But your point was very good. You must accept change and proceed with it. For example, they want a bit of Harrier going on, say, Lucy, yeah. we know what happened to ABC. Yeah. We have confusion. Yeah. And now if you want to do something else, it's more confusing again. You have to accept change. That's the only way we can develop. I have a blessed day.
You too, sir. I thank you as well. I remember the late Julian Hunt, and I agreed with Julian on the point, when he said that rather than the, you know, talking about flyovers and extending, and that we should simply cut a parallel highway, you know, make it one way going up, three lanes, one way coming down, three lanes, and, you know, 20 years from now, we'll still be talking about the airport to West Coast Industrial Access Road. And I can't, well, I may not be alive for it, but some future person who decides, but wait, Mr. Barrow didn't like that, Mr. Cummins had nothing to do with it, we shall change the name to the Tom Adams Highway. And brass tacks are going to get hot the next day again. The Barbados Water Authority says, just informing you that a plumber has been sent to the address of the burst that the caller reported at the corner of Marshall and Parkinson Roads. Thank you. And thank you too. Radio still does work. 434-1790. You can reach us via WhatsApp at 266-4862 or 266-IVOB if you prefer that method. Or you could send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. Good morning. Hello.
Hi, good morning, sir.
Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
Sorry, I
realize that.
Yeah. Hello. And I'd like to say to the caller that called you from the hospital,
mm-hmm.
I hear him on Friday. I would like him to know that don't give up. Cancer is a demon. And the only thing to fight cancer is with the Lord. I experienced many family and close friends up to today that is causing cancer. And then he speaks about you. He doesn't know the wonderful person that you are, the cause that you fought for, the disabled for years, and the person that you yesterday I listened to the calling program and something interesting. One of the gentlemen on the calling program said that chopping in the summer, there's no way to talk. All you have to walk so far. I had to laugh. I said, what do you think? A guy, he says, oh, but it is extremely hard for disabled person to talk in the sun, to walk in the sun.
Yep.
So if there is going to be change in the sun, I think there should be change for everybody, not for just one person, but a disabled person to have talking. There's no talking. Sometimes you have to walk so far. I can't bear where you talk to me, even one child apart. Can you talk to several books? Guess what? I'm going to town. I don't drive, but one day my sister called me, and she was retorted for talking because of me. Yeah. So those is the things that I would like to see happen. And there's somewhere we can go and walk. I just see you with issues that I agree with you. Thinking about a hospital also. And while the fight is a wonderful, hard-working nurses. It's a wonderful, hard-working nurses, because I know I go to I have family in there, often with the same cancer, and that is how I can tell him, do not give up. I have friends and family through cancer. I can live this differently and talk to God. I thank you so much. And the only organization we call is one family. Don't want to really call is one family and tell him that they will support him in whatever we accept. God bless you and God bless him. Have a good day.
Thank you very much, Rosalind. It's always a pleasure to hear you, and your fighting spirit is something that I really treasure and take close to heart. I had an aunt, she's now deceased, but she was diagnosed with cancer before I was born. She lost both her breasts, some of her lung, some of her intestine. She lost every child that she ever conceived, but she battled on, and, you know, she battled on. It's in the hands of someone perhaps greater than you and I. We never know when. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hey, hello. Let me read this WhatsApp while that person picks up the phone. Dennis, please help me with these appeals to the authorities. Urgently have the junction at Lower Grays and Boarded Hall properly lighted. It's a very dangerous place at night. There have been several accidents over the years. And make the left lane approaching the Nita Barrow roundabout from Government House a jam-busting lane that's straight ahead to Belmont Road or left onto Pine Road. Traffic congestion will be significantly reduced. I asked one of the ministers, I think, who was here for, you know, when we had the ministers discussing with Brass Tacks Sunday with Corey on We Gathering. I asked if one of the things we are going to prioritize is the use of our roundabouts, standardizing the use of our roundabouts, because there is mass confusion at almost every roundabout in Barbados because there's a different set of laws applicable to different roundabouts. And if you have people coming home for gatherings who have to be told what happens at every roundabout, rent-a-cars will either go out of business or there'll be a lot of accidents on our roundabouts. I always smile when I see a H car going around the roundabout about four times before they try to figure out how to get out of the roundabout. Perhaps that's one of the improvements we'll see for 2020, a standardized way to use our roundabouts, complete with signs, of course. Wishing and hoping. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Yes, a very good morning to you, Mr. Johnson. How are you today?
I am trying to be good, sir.
Okay. I have a lot of things to say to you in a limited time, so let's go. No, you had a caller there who said it's a situation where someone called saying they would much prefer to see the money being spent on the power or the demolition of the NIS going to the hospital. Now, I was one of those callers because, you see, my mom died in 1999, and she was my best friend. And she was hospitalized for 6 months, approximately. And every day, three times a day, I visited that hospital. But you know what was the terrifying thing? The operating theater. When it was scheduled for an operation, my mom was prepared, prepped, everything, and then was told, oh, we can't do it because something malfunctioned in the theater. She went through that about five times. You can imagine the amount of stress that was placed on her. So I want to see the priority of the hospital, right, being revamped whereby you get those things done in a quick space of time. That's one. Two, is a situation where you know me, and I think you know that my background is in building.
Mm-hmm.
Or some, yeah. So when I speak from a position of knowing, not guessing. Many people will call me the author and say, man, this and that, the third and next. You know, you give good advice sometimes and they don't listen. No. The position is, my background came from as a boy with my uncle being a carpenter, my another uncle being a mason, my father being a contractor. I came around a whole lot of building, vehicles, all sorts of things. My exposure there, man, as far as I discussed a few Sunday back, Guyana, hardwoods. You remember that discussion?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I have a... The only thing I think that's worked properly on me is my memory. There are things I would like to forget. There are things I would like to forget that I don't forget. So I think the only thing that's worked on me is my memory.
That's one thing. Yes, you make people laugh, which is good.
You have to laugh.
No, it's not about it. Excuse me. You mentioned car parks and people talking about parking in the city and all. Now let me explain something to you. There's a lovely park there, Queen's Park. I go into town, I park my car in Queen's Park under one of the trees where it's cool. I take a cool walk down the road, get into town, do what I gotta do, come back and I go. So I don't see a big problem with parking.
You use it because it's non-paying or you use it because of the shade?
The shade.
Well, okay.
You know? And the walk is good too. You just park, shade, walk down the road, do what you gotta do. You browse the town, you might have lunch, come back up, you do what you gotta do. Things like that. Now the other thing is that in the city there are many other paying car parks.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see the big problem with parking.
The paying is what I think the problem is. I think people don't want to pay to go in a car park. So I think that people don't want to pay. That's the only thing I could come up with. I can't think of another reason. Let me ask you something. When last you passed by Independence Square, where the statue of the Right Excellent EWB stands, right across here from my house?
I normally try not to go into the town park.
Right. Now, here's the thing. I pass that area fairly regularly. There's a car park just before you get to the corner.
Yeah.
Right? So, and every day, without fail, I see cars parked all over the square itself. What's the reason? The car park is a walk across the road away.
Mm-hmm.
And I see cars parked all over the square itself. Not on the side of the square, not where the taxis are allowed to park, in the square itself. Why?
Most of the time is in consideration.
Correct, sir. My point. They cleared the area across from River Road, our studios here, and made it nice and green. And you know what happened? It became a car park.
Yeah.
Cars were parked all over it.
Now,
and then they had to come and chain it off. And then people don't want to pay. And you think, and then they come in here, so they're walking into town. So they just don't want to pay. That's all it is.
That's all it is. You know, but anyhow, going on.
I can't find another reason.
Another reason?
Can't find
another reason. But you know what? They don't want to pay that, but they'll pay the fine of the $50.
That's the hard part.
Now, the situation with, I'm driving around Barbados and I've seen a lot of shrubs, different trees, plantations, they're just land idle, I guess. They're ready for a town and country plan approval to do some cutting up and put it into a commercial aspect. I was wondering, if we had to more or less like do some disagreements on these lands and get people planting more like banana trees, papaw trees, because, you know, we're talking about, we're fighting and we're struggling with diseases like diabetes and what's not. Hopefully, markets, everybody can over you drive to a point and get these things. You know, a lot more beautiful, seeing different types of fruit trees being planted rather than all this shrubs and bushing.
Sir, I saw something in the newspaper that said the Prime Minister's vision of planting X number of trees was started and that people went in and planted cherry trees and other fruit trees. Then I saw another story in the newspaper where the head of the Barbados Agricultural Society was quoted as saying, you're using up grasslands that people need to graze a black-bellied sheep planting trees. So it comes back to the question of balancing your needs with what's available and your priorities. There was a gentleman who planted, according to the newspaper again, a whole plantation of palms because he expected the four seasons to come to fruition and that they would need various palms for the pools that were being built there with the million-dollar mansions. Right. Well, that was eons ago. So I don't know what he's done with all the palms he's planted. I don't know if they're still waiting, you know, on the seasons to ripen. Then there was another case of another gentleman who planted, I don't remember what Mr. Kinch planted, no, something else again. So breadfruit can never spoil as far as I'm concerned. Breadfruit is a meal in several different ways. So a breadfruit tree is a good investment in some food. Bananas, I agree with that totally. I've said on this program on more than one occasion that I don't understand why we go and buy banana in a bottle written Gerber or Gerber or whatever it's called when you have ripe bananas right outside that you could take and crush with a fork and give the child anyhow. A banana in a bottle is not something I could figure out. But we like the baby on the bottle and it looked nice on the supermarket shelf. The baby's smiling and looked nice and chubby, so we can buy the bottle rather than a banana. So I agree with you, bananas. Cherries can spoil. You could make drink with it. You could stew it. You could eat it just so if you like it, whatever.
And you could add aloe to it, so you could get an aloe patch as well.
You could do whatever you want to do, right? So, but the question is, comes back to what I keep saying, a question of taste. And if our taste buds have not been teased and sweetened with the taste of a mango straight from the tree or a banana straight from the tree, if we accustomed eating bananas in bottles, we're not going to eat it. I went to St. Lucia, and at the hotel I was staying at in the morning for breakfast, they asked me whether I wanted a series of juices. And included in their series of juices, fresh squeezed this and fresh squeezed that, because they had fresh fruit juice. It didn't come out of a can.
Exactly.
So it wasn't artificially sweetened or anything like that. When we have these large hotels that we're building in Barbados, right? I hear people asking about where the sewage can go and where the water can come from. My question is, what are we serving them? Because if we go and import 20 different brands of wines from overseas,
right,
14 different brands, if the only ketchup they know is Heinz, so we got to bring it in from the U.S., we just send in more foreign exchange out to Barbados to bring our guests a taste of something other than Barbados. So all these things have to be factored in when we're talking about expansion and development. But we choose to focus on who said it, who vision it is, who in power for seven years, who in power for four years. A lot of trivia things to me that don't make any sense.
It's just like I say, I want to get the job done. And I want to have do a good job, you know? It's not who's saying it. To get the job done. And we are too laid back as a people in some instances. Not all, but in most instances, we are too laid back. Now, in closing, Mr. Johnson, I want to say, the breathalyzer, a good idea, yeah? But I want now, again, to put priority. Leave out the breathalyzer and put some priority on these vehicles on the road that are smoking, relatively white or black. You're driving in a vehicle and all that exhaust fumes poisoning you. But we have a Ministry of Transport and Work. Get some inspectors on the road, take the license, send off letters, get these vehicles in an MPW, have them inspected. Too many vehicles on the road that needs, and it's a simple thing, a simple solution of filters, you know? But we don't believe in maintenance. Oh, it ain't bothering me because I'm in the front driving. But it's killing out the back of the exhaust. Something needs to be done about that. I think the authorities should really pay. I think that should be priority right now on the list.
Well, it's something called people having their, their own priorities. The government, I don't believe, can force everybody to obey the law. There are laws. We choose to ignore them. I sat and I listened to the architects and the engineers yesterday, and the question of sick buildings again came to the fore. We had a program, a Brass Tack Sunday. I produced it, I think. Because I do recall the discussion, I was not sitting in this chair, so I must have been sitting in the other one, where this whole question of how buildings become sick was the focus. And the experts, including an expert in air conditioning, said, one, sometimes they use the wrong unit. Two, When you run the air condition and open the window, you cause condensation, you cause mold to build up. When you spray things in the office, from sprays under your arm, when you're going out to spraying aerosols to clean things, that too causes the building to deteriorate. You have carpet in buildings that shouldn't be carpeted. They get wet and moist and you leave them there. And that too causes people to become ill. You have air-conditioned vents where the vent itself begins to deteriorate because it's either some old buildings had cork, some had asbestos, some have fiberglass, and various other things that over a period of time disintegrate and the particles come out into the air and people get sick. So when you talk about a sick building, look today on the back page in the newspaper, brick falling from the ceiling. Still can't figure out how that kind of brick get in the ceiling, but I'm not a builder either, so you know, perhaps you as a builder would know. So there are laws. But enforcing the law and getting everybody to buy into it is not always possible. So you get these things. And then if nobody wants to work in it, somebody says, tear it down. And that happens. 4341-790, Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Hi, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm getting a little echo. Anyhow, I'm glad to be on your program. I hope you can bear with me just for a few minutes. I heard your caller from his hospital bed speaking to you in very glowing terms. Now, you know what that means. And to me, it meant that you have set a very, very high standard. And as you know, the standards, they're very difficult to maintain. I hope you recognize the responsibility that he has now placed on your shoulders, and quite rightly so, because we who have been listening to you for quite a long time realize that there is something special about the way you handle persons, even those who may not be of a very high intellectual standard. I recognize that. What I'm going to say, I have listened to your program in the heart of China, the tip of South America, Chile and Argentina, in the rugged, rocky mountains, and Europe, and in fact, all over the world. So when you get on this program, remember, there are all types of people listening to you, and they expect that high standard to be maintained. While saying this, this whole business about radio, at some point, it would be useful to go back and delve a little bit into how we arrived at radio as we know it. You might remember Benjamin Franklin, the orator, politician, and inventor. He had some part to play in the invention of radio in a way. We know James Clerk Maxwell, who did the magnetism. He dealt with that. We couldn't have radio without magnetism. We know of Heinrich Hertz. Without him, we wouldn't have a radio at all. And not be forgotten, we have people like Guglielmo Marconi, who made a transmission from Europe and also from Sydney, Australia, back to Europe. All these people made their contribution so that today when you sit in that chair, your voice, as feeble as it may be normally in Little Barbados, can be heard all over the world. And let us not forget our own Alan Emptage, who made what was regarded as the very first search engine, which made it possible for people who are not able, because of work and other commitments, to listen to your program live, that they can listen to it at night. So I just mention these things because sometimes we forget that we are a small country, but we can have a loud voice in influencing what happens in the world. And as you know, when I say this, I have a great love for peoples of the Caribbean and the suffering that they have gone through. And as I look around and I see what is happening with our two neighbors, I mentioned this very briefly, in South America, that is Guyana and Venezuela. When you say what is happening to them, once you have something that is valuable, it attracts all types of, I wouldn't say sharks, but but people who want to get their hands on your wealth. And I am afraid that here in the Caribbean, we are not very, very conscious of these things. And therefore, when we wake up, it is far too late. So I would like to hear some more of these discussions so that the people of this country can receive a much better education as to what is possible and what may be happening in their immediate environment. I would have any comment, I would just stay on the line for a minute or two longer.
Yeah, sir, I want you to... I wanted to respond to a couple of the things you said. I grew up listening to radio. I'm talking about the old radios that had tubes they had to turn on and they had to warm up. And you heard this crackling voice from all over the world. So I've always been influenced by, one, the professionalism, two, the differences in tone, nuance, the way they use descriptive language, for example, cricket commentary, as opposed to royal visits and earthquakes and various natural disasters, and even death announcements. You had a change in the tone, a change in the manner in which they presented what they did. I've always been fascinated by the use of language. And I understand the responsibility. Trust me, I do. It's a terrible weight. I mean, W-E-I-G-H-T weight, because what has happened over the years is that there's been a downsizing of the importance of communication and the use of language. We think that people try to be too big up or proud, or social media and the loosening of the way we communicate has changed language. And radio has changed in a way that personally I have some challenges with, because we have allowed the responsibility of being fair and balanced to be overpowered by sensationalism. And it creeps in to the way we do things and the way we write things. I've seen newscasts, for example, copied off of stories in the press that says the callous and uncaring criminal who viciously slaughtered the two people. So that's not the language you use to describe the death of someone, because their relatives and their friends will hear you saying this about somebody they care about. So that's not the language I expect if someone is reporting a death. And but it has crept into to what we do. So I understand the weight. The other thing is the ability to change what you do to match the audience you believe you have is difficult for radio and for newspapers, because some things have stayed the same way that they've been for the last 200 years, while others have changed so quickly that they've lost a sense of to whom are you speaking. And sometimes we get caught up in the five people, the How Great Thou Art choir, who calls to say, you know, you're such a wonderful person, that you don't think of the others who may be listening, who will not join the How Great Thou Art choir for whatever reason. So it also, it serves every once in a while as a check for you to say, am I still reaching the people I would like to reach? And it's a heavy task, sir. So I take what you say very seriously.
Yeah, and that, you know, when I think of people like Leslie Sion, and of course Our Lady from Guyana,
Olga Love Seal, and Leslie was my first. By the way, Leslie was my first producer, and I always say if it wasn't for him, I don't think I'll ever be in this business ever again. He was a fantastic person.
But you know, as the years pass, those people and the standards that they set are forgotten. I would think at some point we have some way of Hall of Fame, something that you can remember these people by, because it would do our young people well to understand where we came from so that we know where we should be going. And I think this would be very useful. I was really, very impressed with the gentleman. His name is Rashid.
Yeah, Rashid Foster.
Rashid. He has done a lot for your program. I know he came in and he would always want, blessed be my brother or something like that.
Yeah, correct.
And when he if he, well, we all going to go, but he seems to be on at his last leg, as he thinks. I don't necessarily agree with that, because as long as you have breath in your body, you have the ability to fight, and you can fight anything. However, I thought he did a very good service to your community this morning, and let you know how far this program reaches. Mm-hmm. And I hope that you do not allow the standard to fall, as I've been hearing some people claim quite recently. At least you have maintained your standard, and I hope to God you continue to do so. Mm-hmm. And thank you very much for allowing me on your program.
Pleasure, sir. Always good to hear you. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, ma'am, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, sir. You get it before me.
I had to jump you on that one.
All right. Oh, yeah. Lord. You know, you want to hurt your girl?
No way.
Why? By birth?
I would never do that to you.
Oh, I know that. Only one thing I want to talk about is I would like the post office as West Terrace to be opened back. It's not fair because a lot of people live around here, and some of us are, you know, people are of certain age, you know, cannot, you know, walk. If some didn't have a car to get there. Right now I get a smaller parcel. Guess where they send me? All the way to St. Thomas. From where I live.
That shouldn't be a long drive.
Oh, God, that's supposed to be a drive. How would I get up there?
Ah, no, that's a good question. Because as far as I know, I can't think of a bus that runs from where you are to the St. Thomas Post Office. Not directly. I heard Minister Husbands, when she was on the program, saying that it was a matter of cost, but that it was something that she was concerned about, because apparently a few people have complained to her about the closure of that West Terrace Post Office.
Mr. Johnson, that post office have a lot of traffic, and it's not fair for people who is old. Yeah. Some cannot walk. Don't have anyone to go and collect their legal pension or to, you know, and they have to go try and get there. You got to think of the people around you. St. Thomas, or, you know, you see someone with a stick, and I know that person was going to the post office. And then when I went there myself, I realized it closed. Mm-hmm. I was so shocked, no notice that it closed. It got to open back, man. We got a petition for that. And cause what? That post office should open. It's not fair to send me all the way to St. Thomas, and I live in St. James. Why they put me to St. Thomas?
You live in Bagatelle. Bagatelle ain't that far from St. Thomas, man. You take a nice little drive. No, I get your point. No. The whole question, though, of the use of post offices, the locations, again, development. Mm-hmm. One of the points made by the good ladies from the post office when they did a couple of shows here with us is that if you get lost, you want to find out where somebody is, you don't ask the police, you ask the postman. The postman knows where everybody in Barbados lives. They know where everybody lives. So ask a postman. So the postal office was a key focal point for community life. You went there, you got your mail, the mailman knew who you were, pension checks, gifts from overseas. The post office was a focal point. But development, they've been used less and less. People send e-cards, transactions have changed. Post office doesn't make as much money as they used to, offer the sale of stamps and various other activities that they did. So they've trimmed the number of post offices and where they are. And there are communities that will suffer as a result. And you are correct.
And isn't, look, if you look at West Terrace, look at the amount of, you know, building around there, and I'll tell you, 70% of the people use that post office. And they should reopen it back, even if they put two staff in there. It's not fair. And that's the only thing I'm vexed with the government for.
Talk to Kerry.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. There's a gentleman here talking about signs. Make a special speed. Make a special plea for me for speed signs on our roadways, especially since our roads are varying limits and there's no demarcation points between them. Example, the road from Foursquare to Six Road, 60 kilometers. The old airport is also 60. There are no signs indicating this at either of the stretches, and the highway code book says, well over 10 years old, does not have the information. If locals are being caught by the police for this, imagine those gathering for 2020 and the regular tourists. Well, as I said online to the person, asked the police about this once, and they said to me, unless otherwise indicated, the speed limit in Barbados is 60 kilometers an hour. That is why you would see 80 on certain stretches. And there are lower speed limits in and around built-up areas, schools in particular. Now, the thing is, from time to time, you travel on the highway and you see reduced speed now. And it doesn't say reduced to what, right? In some cases, it does. Some cases, they don't. So I take your point about adequate signage. He also says that the road markings, inadequate lighting. And having said that, I noticed, for example, the junction out here by Fairchild Street, now nicely at night, lit up with cat's eyes. I mean, it's real pretty when you turn the corner. By the traffic lights, they got more cat's eyes there than they got cats in Bridgetown. So the cats have been de-eyed. So when you see those markings and your light picks it up and it looks good, you say, right, well done. And then there are other areas along the Ronald Map Highway and various other places where the signage, speed, your demarcation corners. I noticed a lot of work going on tidying up the sides of the road. So apparently the crash program has gone into effect for the gathering. So we may get around to that eventually, sir. Hopefully. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello. Mr. Hello? Johnson, please advise your caller there is a post office in Warren's Tower 2. I have just done so. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Morning.
For the third or fourth time, good morning.
Morning, sir.
I guess you're not speaking to me, right? Or you're not hearing me? Sir, listen to your telephone. Put the telephone to your ear and have a conversation.
Hello. Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. This is my first time calling.
Okay, and you're having a little difficulty, so help me. Go ahead.
Right, right. I heard you had a couple callers ahead, especially the last one, concerning the road, the signage, and so forth in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
No, I have one little concern that is somewhat close to his.
Mm-hmm.
It is the lighting and signage as such.
Mm-hmm.
No. They have
so that radio in the background is going to throw you off because you're hearing yourself 20 seconds after me.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Why you said hello about five times.
Right.
So
okay.
kill the volume.
I definitely will.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Good.
I think I got that covered.
There we go. Right.
Yeah, right.
The signage.
Signage and that, but one in particular I have is some structures that we have in Barbados that was there for a while. I believe they serve a purpose at some point. Probably still serve a purpose. But part of my problem is they're in the road. They used to be partly for, you know, they tell you, like, turn right, keep left, whatever. They had these little small signs on them. But over time, they got knocked down by the hills, whatever. And now you have just the concrete structures in the road. So you can imagine you're traveling at night. It's dark. This structure is in the middle of the road. Hardly any black or white, no cat eyes at all, no cats even in that area. So there's one in particular I want to draw to your attention. You come down the hill from Springer School or Government Hill,
mm-hmm.
turning right on to go to the post office there in Welch's, right? There's one right there in the road, coming from the lights. Now, I almost, and I live here, I guess over the years, we see it, we know it, so...
We avoid it.
in the back of your mind, you know it's right there, so you avoid it. Mm-hmm. My problem is you have people coming home now after 40, 50 years, and I try to imagine a fellow coming down and swinging after, who knows, an evening out, a night out, whatever.
So there are several, I agree with you, there are several things that we have to pay attention to on our roads. The, as you say, half-left structures, broken culverts, the covers or the drains that depress over time, and you feel like if you drive over it, it will fall in. So people swerve to avoid it. Sometimes both sides of the road, so the oncoming vehicle also swerve, and both of you narrowly miss kissing one another in the middle of the road. These things need to be looked at, need to be addressed in a systematic way once finances permit. And we have a whole ministry with two ministers, I think, who should be able to address that problem. If we can't get it fixed with two ministers, then something wrong.